Okay, my pleasure to introduce Daniela.
Well, it's truly my pleasure to be here. I consider this as one of my home groups, so to be asked to speak to a home group is like a particular kind of a pleasure, because when I look around the room, there's those I know and those I don't know, but I feel seen, I feel encouraged and inspired, and I feel a sense of home. And I report that back because, you know, in case there's any newcomers or people who are, you know, I feel like it's that idea of beginner's mind. So I don't even always like to differentiate, but I know that if you're new to these steps, it's nice to hear that I didn't always feel that way, you know? So nobody's asking anybody to join a cult or to use faith that you don't have. It's like, we get to decide for ourselves. How far are we going to go? How we want to approach what our God is going to be like, how we're going to relate to all this, or I should say for me, keep it about myself, but just generally, yeah, just to say this process has given me that sense of home that I'm talking about when I say how nice it is to see everyone's faces and to be here together. So I was invited to talk about columns 1 and 2 of the fourth step. The fourth step, you know, that's the one where we get to take an inventory. And so I'm just going to go straight to the book at first and just read a bit and then talk about it. So if I'm going to start a little bit before the official fourth step part, which is page 64 in the first paragraph, it's the first full sentence that starts with though. So though our decision, so in third step, we got to make that decision to be willing to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, this third step decision, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. And this is precisely why we write an inventory. And it had been blocking us, particularly from this power. So this higher power of our understanding, our liquor, our controlling fixing, our food, our obsessive thinking, adrenaline, etc., whatever our isms are, those were but a symptom. So we had to get down to the causes and the conditions. So, you know, specifically column one, you know, we're going to say who it was and also what happened from our perspective, and we get to look at it in order to get free. So therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking the commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process, so that the fact-finding is the searching, and the fact-facing is where we get the invitation to be fearless. Now, it's not required that we be fearless before we start. And that's the thing to understand that I always get re-reminded through the process of this, is that every day I get these opportunities through this particular, very specific process of working the 12 steps to have the power that I need to go beyond my fears. So it's not required I be fearless to do this. What's required is that, in my experience, is that I say yes to the process, and then I act as if, and then basically God gives me the power to outgrow those fears. So they're not always even removed. I get to move through them with this power that I now have access to, which is a loving, kind spirit of the universe. You know, that's the way I see it. So it's an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade, me. One object is to disclose damaged or unsalable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. So I don't know about you, but I used to work in restaurants for many years, and we did this, exactly this. We go through the fridge. You might find some bucket of old potatoes that didn't get used, and then they're, you know, hopefully, you know, you've got them all dated and well done where they're not even rotting yet. You just know, oh, we have to get rid of these. But sometimes you'll find these festering things that, you know, depending on how often this is done, and that affects the ability to fit in more products that you may need that we needed for the kitchen to keep continuing. So I actually find this is really, you know, this is how practical these steps are. It's like that. It's, yes, it brings us to this mystical spiritual experience. In my experience, and with a lot of people I've heard from, but it is also a very practical thing, like working in a restaurant, going through the fridge for old gross stuff that you want to help to get rid of. So getting rid of them promptly and without regret. And if the owner of the business is to be successful, they cannot fool themselves about values and what it's worth. So we did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup, which caused our failure, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations of self. So the asterisk on that I have, it says the common manifestations of self are resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, fear, and the way that I treat people, my motives in my relationships. And that's all what you get to see through this process, what I got to see through this process, you know, and that what's proposed that we can all do. So in step four, we can ask ourselves, do I believe resentment is the number one offender? And in my experience, it is, you know, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. For me, resentment as an Al-Anon, who's also like a codependent, oftentimes I used to say, I don't resent anyone because I already forgive everyone. I know that they were doing their best and I forgive all the abusers and everything's fine, you know. But for me, resentment looks like, was I hurt? Was I interfered with? Those are when I do my later 10th step, where I get to do this big process, but I get to do a smaller version every day to keep the fridges clean. I get to ask myself, was I resentful today? And I also write down, was I hurt? Was I interfered with? So that's what we can look at too. When we're doing, that's in my experience, what I looked at when I am doing the resentment inventory, because I only had a few on there when I first wrote down the list of names. And then my sponsor was like, well, resentments aren't what you think they are, that I'm like this bitter person who's like, that's what I thought it was. I have to be kind of bitter and cynical about something. It doesn't have to be that. I could just have like a, it's that weird feeling in your gut when you think of a situation or of a person. That's my experience. I have that weird feeling in my gut. It just doesn't feel easy and clean and flowing. It's like, ugh, that's a resentment. You know, if I look at it that way, then I had, you know, a good 48 of them. You know, so hurt, interfered with, all those things. And so it does, it's the number one offender. It is the rotting thing in the fridge that's gonna like poison me and poison my connection with others. And, you know, and in my experience, it also builds with time. Like if I don't find the bucket of potatoes that are rotting, not to keep going with that, but it's true. It's gonna start to stink. It's gonna start to mold. I mean, it could go anywhere. Like it could keep going. And if that goes on for years, you know, in terms of connections with people, it's affecting everything that I do. It's like I'm carrying it around in my being, you know what I mean? This rotting thing. And I didn't even know all of that was there. Like I said, I thought I'm a nice person. I'm kind. I don't have resentments. So do I believe that resentments can destroy me more than, it can destroy me and more than anything else? Do I believe from resentments resentments stem all forms of spiritual disease, which is selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, and fear? Do I believe that I have not only been mentally and physically ill, but I've been spiritually sick as well? When the spiritual maladies overcome, I'll straighten out mentally and physically. Do I believe with resentments, I should set them on paper? So here it goes. We listed all of the people, the institutions, or the principals with whom I was angry, or in my case, had a weird feeling, felt nauseous, felt embarrassed, shame, you know, all those things. I wrote them all down. Actually, I had more than 48. I wrote everything. And then I ended up grouping them with my sponsor into kind of, you know, I don't need each school, but I wrote down each school. And then later I just made it institutions in general for their transphobia or their abuse or their, you know, home, all the things that they did that I was felt like they were monsters, you know, in my mind that were controlling my way of thinking about being participating in the world. So exactly that. you know, being trans as a kid, I was brutalized by a system. So I can justify it in my mind before I do this work. I could say, well, those guys, they're all jerks and all the systems are jerks. In fact, I don't want to be part of any of that. And I lived my life like that for years. I got that message. It's a real message out there. Like, we don't want you. Okay, I don't want you either. But where does that leave me? You know, it's very limiting. And, you know, that's just one example. You know, there's all the personal relations or whatever. Today, I'm in a master's program. I'm a professional artist. I do a lot of things and I'm part of systems, which before for decades, I ran away from, you know, which was very limiting and painful. So through this process, it's really helped me to participate more in life. For each resentment, did I ask myself why I was angry? Yeah. So those are the first two columns. It's like, who was it? And why do I have this weird feeling? And then we get this process in the BBA, which I love, where we can make it into kind of a drama. So it's like a comic book almost. I like to really exaggerate. So it's like, what would I say about schools, since I was using that as an example? I don't have it in front of me because I'm traveling, but I remember it. It's basically like for being, for being monstrous jerks who would bully a beautiful child like me, or exaggerating it. I mean, it's true. It's got truth to it, but it needs a little bit of that drama for me to really connect with it. So, you know, if it's like a friend, it's like for being an arrogant jerk who only thinks about themselves. It's like, I obviously would never say that to them. And that's not the ultimate truth of the thing, but it's really good to have that kind of flavor of almost like a telenovela, like soap opera, where it's like, because we're going into characters here, you know, what's the play? That's talked about here. It's like, it's a play of my life and I'm the director and I want everybody to do these particular things in the way that I think they should do them. And when they don't do them that way, I react. Institutions, people, et cetera. So what ends up happening is I get into dangerous situations. It's dangerous to not participate in society. It's dangerous to live on the margins without health insurance, with your friends, you know, trying to figure out ways to live outside of a system. Although it has value, and I do think it gives a certain perspective, I don't wish that for anyone. I want us all to be able to participate together so that we can build the kind of world we want to have, you know? And so it's important for me to get into the nuts and bolts of what is separating me, because that's the thing about me as a codependent. I can justify all of my outsider status, you know, but I also know by reading this book that that is the nature of these isms, whatever we call them. At least that's what I've heard in the rooms. I don't want to overgeneralize, but it's, for me, it's like, I'm the worst piece of shit at the center of the universe. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I was exceptionally special. I was exceptionally specially not lovable or too weird to be part of life. And today I am, like I said, I'm participating on new terms. The terms I've been given through this process is the terms which maybe in the mainstream society isn't always the operating factors, but in this group of people with all of you, or in the way that I'm living through the world, it's on the terms of being loving and kind and that's my intention. I'm not saying I'm a saint or something. Every day I pray for that. I say, can you please show me how to be tolerant, loving, and kind, and to be understanding? And then through these processes, once we do the macro version, which is looking at our whole lives in this, I got a chance to look at my whole life through this and clean out the old refrigerators and all that. And then later on in the 10th and 11th, which a lot of you are doing, it's like I can do it every day. A small version of like checking the stock, seeing what's rotting, deal with it. Okay, I was kind of selfish jerk yesterday. That's, you know, I can think of it in a loving and kind way instead of being ashamed, and go and take care of it. Talk to the person, make amends, all those kind of things. So that's the value of this system, is that, I mean, overall, basically, that's what I would say. I found a person who found me, actually, who said, hey, I know you've been doing Al-Anon for 8 years. You seem to still be suffering. I can relate to that. And I can show you a system with which to work these steps, which you'll be, you will get that relief and you will get this new connection with the loving God. And I decided to say yes to that. And then I got to go through this process with someone who is very patient. And I guess I'll just talk generally about this fourth step and the way that I work with my sponsee on this, so that I did, you know, work, is that we took our time with it, you know? I really encourage, if there's sponsors out there that are new to it, just this idea that, you know, there's a hurry and there's not, you know, I like the thing of meeting every week. That was really helpful. That's 5 minutes. Thank you. It was really helpful to me to meet with my sponsor every week. And when we did the fourth step process, we had the opportunity to meet more often. But I never felt hurried by him. It felt more like it was important to really get to the root of each thing and do a process around it that wasn't hurried. So it wasn't like we all went to his house one day and we did all of them. In my case, it was, I think it was 10 different meetings we had, which were each like about an hour or two. And then we went through all the 48 of them. And then, you know, there was a few more to clean out. So for me, thoroughness is really makes the most sense, because like I said, then I can keep current every day with the 10th and 11th. And then hopefully I'll be going through the steps again, you know, probably in the near future. But what else could I say about it? I mean, this process of the fourth step took a lot of faith, but I was given the faith, you know, like I said before, it's like, we don't have to come here already believing in anything. We can just literally ask these questions in this way. We can interrogate with this cool way we do in BBA, where we change all the sentences in the book to questions. And then we can ask ourselves an answer honestly. And as a person, you know, who's almost, you know, I'm almost 50. It's like, I'm used to doing things my way, but I'm also like, I can see how much of that didn't work for me. So it's important for me to also be able to decide for myself each step of the way. I mean, I'm not interested in joining a cult at this point or having a gurus or any of that stuff for me. I'm not saying that's bad, but you know, for my version, I like having teachers that can show me stuff that's worked for them, but I also I'm not interested in just taking anything just because people said, okay, you need to believe this, you know. This process is, I get to ask each sentence, I ask myself a question and be honest with the answer, you know. What I discovered in this process is, wow, I'm just carrying around a bunch of rotting stuff in my very body, you know, and it is destroying my life. So, I mean, you know, I would have started out with, where was I, where am I today? So let me just say really quickly, where was I? I mean, my mind, if you'd have been inside my mind, it was basically like a monologue looping, probably since I was like 8 years old. And people who know me in here have heard me say this before. It was literally like a tape running. No matter how many, like, you know, I'm like queer positive out, like I'm in doing therapy, I'm doing all this stuff like for years, you know, for 30 years or so, still this looping thing of like, you fucked everything up. And sorry for my, you messed everything up. And the reason you're suffering is because of something you haven't done. So you better figure out what that is. You know, you're not doing it good enough. You're not, in my case, you're not doing Al-Anon good enough, because here you are 8 years later and you're white knuckling it, thinking about jumping off a bridge, killing yourself like every day. And, you know, I mean, the amount of suffering and the pain that I was in, it is remarkable I'm still alive. And my psychologist would tell you that, who I've been with for 6 years, my outside help. It is a miracle I'm still alive. And it's a miracle that that looping tape is literally was lifted around the, after I was done with the seventh step, I'd say it was 80% gone. It was literally the sensation of, there's some loud radio that's on all the time, or your neighbors are playing annoying loud like action movies or whatever, and it's just going forever. And it's just like all of a sudden it's off. I didn't go over there and turn it off. I literally didn't do anything remarkable. I didn't have some revelation. I mean, I'm a theory. I write and read theory. Like, I'm really into like figuring stuff out and being inside of all this academic things. None of that. I tell you right now, I did the most basic, like open the fridge, take out the rotting potatoes. These are rotting, throw them away. Ask, you know, with someone else, by the way, not alone, with my sponsor, and coming to the meetings for support, and with my fellowship, and with God. I mean, mainly with God, you know. So I didn't have a genius moment that made me deserve this spiritual experience I had. I didn't have to deserve it. I just had to do very basic things that are suggested here. You know, pick up the piece of paper, ask God to help me write out a list of people, then do with the next thing. Like, next week we do this, next week we do that. I mean, you know, as a person, and I guess I'll wrap it up here, like, you know, we all have our pride and everything like that, you know, and I am a person who's been practicing different forms of spiritual things. I'm part of spiritual communities. I've taken commitments in those. I've studied with teachers. I, you know, I'm not saying, and all of that's there. That's what I would say. All of that, whatever we've done in those moments, you know, walking down the beach with our grandma, holding our hand, those spiritual moments where you see the ocean, it's immense. That's all there. It doesn't get disregarded. In fact, in my case, it's the plug that plugged all of those things up, like a light display. Just all of a sudden, all the lights come on of all those spiritual experiences. They came to actually mean something in terms of today, you know, that I can be a loving and kind person. I don't have to be perfect. I'm certainly not, but I can be, I can enjoy life. And like I've said it before, I can sit on the couch. I can look around a room and at a piece of art or something. I'd be like, oh, this is nice. I never could do that before. At the same time I was doing that, there's all this shame and things going on. So last, what I would say is, I didn't even know what shame was. Like, actually, there was shame infused in so much. And I felt stubborn about it because I thought, well, I'm liberated. I came out in like 1991. Like, hey, I have no shame. You know, that's not true in my case. And I understand that shame was kind of infused in everything. And it's been lifted. I'm telling you right now, I don't, even when I mess up, because I have a thing I can do to kind of, in a good way, make the connection again for whatever I, you know, did that was human and like maybe cause a little pain to someone or discomfort to me or someone else. I can remedy it pretty quickly. And finally, I don't have to do any of it alone. And, you know, the God thing can sometimes be a put off for people. But what I mean when I say God is, and we get a lot of different words for it in this book, I like the loving spirit of the universe, the mother, the great mother, who is like loving and kind, you know, God or higher power. That's my main thing that's with me. And then you all, and then my sponsor, you know, so, and all of the humanity and all the animals and the universe, Mother Earth and everything. It's like way more together with me. So I hope this made any sense. I'm recovering from surgery. So cognitively, I'm a little bit like, ooh, but I'm just so happy to be here. I hope something I said was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was very helpful, very, very useful, and just a lovely share. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording.